Hey, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today, we're going to keep going on this series about what does the Bible say about slavery? And we're just going to continue to explore these issues. What does the Old Testament say? What does the New Testament say about slavery? And we're just going to figure this out. We're going to find out exactly what slavery means in the Bible and compare it to our modern-day version of what we mean and what we think of when we're talking about slavery. And so with that, let's go ahead and jump right in. How do you become a slave? How does that happen as far as the Old Testament goes? And from here on forth, we're going to be talking mostly Old Testament until the end of this series where we're going to bring it forward to the New Testament because things changed a little bit, but yet slavery is still there in the Bible in the New Testament. So right now we're talking Old Testament. How did somebody become a slave? Well, I'm going to give you some reasons. First one, and I think most prominent, would be debt / your need for somebody to provide for you. All right, now what do I mean by that? Well, back then, they didn't have the social programs that we have in the United States nowadays. And I think they're, for the most part, we see these social programs all over the world where a person can get themselves eyeballs deep in debt, okay? They're in debt up to their eyeballs. They have spent all kinds of money on credit cards. They got a house, blah, blah, blah. You go on, fill in the blank. They got themselves deep in debt. And then they just declare bankruptcy and allow all that debt load to go on to the people that they jacked, all those people that gave them money and goodwill, all right? And don't get me started about bankers and the usury, the rates of interest that they charge and the ways that they jack us back, okay? Don't get me started. We're not talking about that. I'm just simply talking about right and wrong, people getting themselves in debt and then, having lived irresponsibly, they declare bankruptcy, and they somehow jack over the people that gave them the money to begin with. Okay, well, that didn't happen back in biblical times, in Old Testament times. That didn't happen. If you got yourself in debt and you couldn't pay the debt, guess what happened? Well, you would voluntarily put yourself into servitude. You would become a slave. Now, again, not our modern day take on slavery. We're talking about the biblical view. Again, we'll get into that. All right. You put yourself into servitude to the people you owed money and you'd work it off. And guess what? You'd be set free at the end of it. Okay. There's a light at the end of this tunnel. Now, is this cruel? Well, I'm going to argue, no, it's not. No, it's not. Because people had a motivation not to get in debt. What's cruel is our nations allowing us to get in debt up to our eyeballs, and then all the taxpayers and the people that lent them money have to hold the bag. And then guess what? Now I'm going to put on my tinfoil hat, all right? So forgive me. I might be wrong about this. But we have allowed this to go on for so long that a day of reckoning is coming to the world, guys. A day of reckoning where our economies are going to get slapped. How hard that slap is going to be, I cannot say. Okay, that's too much tinfoil hat for me. But we're going to get it because of all of our stupid monetary practices. And I'm oversimplifying. I understand that there's a lot of reasons why our economies are going to take diggers. Printing money out of thin air, fiat style, fractional reserve banking. But again, wow, those are rabbit trails. My point is, in Old Testament times, that's how you dealt with debt. And guess what? People got themselves in debt for being stupid, and they got punished for it. They would voluntarily put themselves into servitude to work that debt off. And guess what? Not many people chose to take that route because they saw friends and family get into trouble like that. Well, how about this one? needing somebody to provide for them. Maybe there's a drought. Maybe there's something that happened in your life that put you down and out. You were not spending irresponsibly. You weren't getting yourself into debt, but just stuff happens, right? And you're starving and you need a roof over your head. You need to be fed. Things are happening and you've got to get it together. Well, again, they didn't have the typical social programs that we have nowadays where you can get a free house and a free cell phone and free food and on and on and on and on. They did have gleaning back then. We'll talk about that later. But they didn't have the kind of programs we have today where the taxpayer was left holding or is left holding the bag. What happens is, rather, if you get yourself in that situation, you would voluntarily put yourself into servitude to somebody. Okay, that's not so bad, guys. You pick your master. You find out who you want to serve, and you arrange this deal with them, and you become their slave. That's not a bad thing. And a little later, we're going to talk about how there's a verse in the Bible where fathers will sell their daughters into slavery. Good grief. How could that be? Well, under this system, that was an act of kindness. If you're a father, if you're a family, and you can't provide for your children, nowadays we would call that adoption. But get this, in 6-7 years, you get your child back. So this is actually a better system. That's interesting. And I'm not advocating, again, I'm not advocating slavery as we see it nowadays. In fact, I'm not necessarily advocating the biblical version of slavery, for that matter, but I am recognizing its strengths. I'm recognizing that it's not as bad as people think. So let's move on. Another reason that people would become slaves, crime. All right? You get caught with your hand in the cookie jar, you know? You get caught stealing from another man, what happens? You work it off. You become their slave. And again, this is not beat your slave time. This is not rape your slave time. We're going to talk about that later. Okay? There are laws about how you treat your slave. But there's restitution that has to be made. Some license plates have to be made. You know what I'm saying? You owe that man. You do a crime against somebody and you are unable to pay the proper restitution as the law states you should, then, just like our laws do modern day, if you can't pay the fine, you do the time. It's the same idea. Although I think this system's a little better than our system. All right, what about war? All right, if you got a nation that's up to no good, okay, and I'm not one to judge because I don't know. Now, we're given all kinds of propaganda in our media, and we don't really know what's going on when we go to war with somebody. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we just see in part. But I'm just talking about a real justified war. What is a justified war? Yikes. That is a whole podcast series. But just take it at face value. A real justified war. Okay? You're going against the bad guys. Okay? The real bad guys. And these people are heathens, for example. They're Canaanites. Let's just say that, okay? And they worship some weird Molech-like god where they take their babies and they put them in the loving arms of a searing red-hot statue. And as that baby is sizzling to death, they read a Christmas list of what they want from their god Molech that year. Okay? They're nice, cheery people. They have a great culture. All right? These guys that follow the Israelites all around in the wilderness, picking off the old and the sickly and the slow and the young from the back of the herd, from the back of the group of Hebrews at the time. All right. And you go in there and you conquer that nation and you let some of them live. Okay. Maybe they weren't involved in the fight. Maybe they're not necessarily guilty. And you take some of these, modern day example, terrorists captive. Well, what do you do with them? I mean, you can just set them in a cell and feed them every day. You can put them to work by making them build license plates for you. I don't know. But do you let them go? Heck no. You don't let them go because those guys hate you. Okay? They're plotting against you. And maybe some of them have repented. Some of them have changed their hearts. But the fact of the matter is, and I don't like this, okay? I don't like it. But the fact of the matter is, if you let them go, something really bad could happen. So as a general rule, you're going to have to keep them for life, okay? Because how do you know in their heart they've truly repented and changed their ways? Perhaps on a case-by-case basis, some might get let go. Maybe. But as a general rule, what do? You keep them. You don't let them go. You don't. Because you don't know what they're going to do. You don't know if they're going to assemble and start another rebellion. You don't know if they're going to start hooking up with their old mosque and strapping a bomb on themselves and walking into a store. You don't know what they're going to do. And so you keep them. Does that make sense? You might not like it. I don't like it. But it makes sense. You got to protect yourself. You got to protect your people. What about kidnapping slaves? Let's move forward here and let's look at our modern day version of slavery. What about kidnapping slaves? Was it okay to do that in biblical times, in Old Testament times? No. No. All right, let's get this one on the table right now. Exodus 21, verse 16. He who kidnaps a man, whether he sells him or he is found in his possession, check this out, shall surely be put to death. Whoa. All right. I'm going to keep coming back to this scripture throughout the whole series. There are some foundational scriptures that we need to hold on to. So when these atheists start playing around loose and fast with our Bible, we need to bring them back to reality. If you kidnapped a man, if you sell slaves in this manner, you were to be put to death in Old Testament times. All right? It is expressly, it is explicitly forbidden to kidnap and take somebody against their will, except, of course, in the situation of war, like we just talked about. It is forbidden to do this, and it's punishable by death. All right, 1 Timothy, we're going to the New Testament. 1 Timothy 1, verse 9 and 10. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind. And here we go, for men stealers. People that kidnapped others for whatever purpose, okay? This is not being specific here. Men stealers, kidnappers, for whatever purpose. For sex slaves, for just regular slaves, or whatever. Men stealers, stealing children and giving them to other families. Kidnapping in general, forbidden. All right, let's move on. For liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. All right? So kidnapping somebody for the purpose of slavery, or kidnapping people in general, is forbidden, again, in the New Testament. So atheists, stop attacking straw men. The Bible forbids this kind of activity. All right? And that's pretty much a good spot to stop here. Again, we always try to keep these podcasts a little bit shorter. So with that, come out to the website, Youth Apologetics Training, and leave comments and questions. I just installed live fire on my website. I think that's going to be a good thing. It looks like a pretty cool plugin that allows me to have live conversations with people. And so anyway, just thought I'd let you guys know about that. Also, if you guys enjoy these podcasts, please tweet them and hit the like button and the share button and all the other buttons, and let's get apologetics out there to the world. And with that, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.